necessary.
In case they took me literally.
Where Did It All Go Wrong? Written by and starring Simon Munnery. Starting on Thursday night at 10:45 on 4Extra.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
8 o'clock, good morning. It's Wes Butters on Sunday the 21st of May with classic comedy. All courtesy, as he would say, of the king of titters. Big titters, small titters, titters of every size and description. That's Frankie Howard, of course. And later we begin a season of Desert Island Discs featuring those who have a strong love of the great outdoors. In the weeks to come, we'll hear Jane Goodall and Chris Packham. But first up, it's the renowned traveller and survivalist Ray Mears at 10:15. So yes, now, ladies and gentlemen, back to 1978 for an hour with Frankie and his friends.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present the Frankie Howard Variety Show with Frankie's special guests, Lynn Paul, Brian Carroll, Mike Burton and the Dooleys, with music from the Max Harris Orchestra. I'm Len Jackson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, every generation produces its own genius, a man of wit, charm, and intelligence, but the BBC couldn't afford him. So instead, will you please welcome the star of our show, Frankie Howard.
Now, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. He's going to be a godsend. Come over here and inspect. I must say, you're lucky to have me here tonight. You're lucky because I came by train, you know. Well, you know what it's like. I got delayed an hour. Well, no, the train wasn't late. It was bang on time. We had to stay behind and be treated for shock. There we are. No, it started last night when I got the ferry back from Jersey. It was a shocking crossing. Oh, dreadful. The worst I've ever had. I've had some hairy ones in my time. The boat. I'm going to write a lot here tonight. I shouldn't have worried, really. No, I shouldn't have worried because I'm a very experienced sailor. Oh, I guess I know all the sailors' language. Ever since I trod on a bosun's foot in Portsmouth, you know this sort of thing. Batten down your yardboards, heave to by your rowlocks, and make mine a Campari and soda. Now, this time I had trouble in finding my sea legs because I think I must have left them in my bathing suit. a little joke. But little jokes apart, I was ill. Oh, I was ill. Oh no, not seasick. I was too ill to be seasick. I thought, we shall never make it in this weather. We're doomed. Doomed we are. Yes. We're all going down to David Jones's locker. And knowing my luck, it'll be half-day closing. But this bloke started running up and down the deck. This man pulling his hair. He was screaming, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. I wouldn't mind if it was the captain. Very odd. Strange man. When I saw him for the first time, it was in the TV lounge, watching the Oneidin line, and wearing his life jacket. And he was. Women and children first, he shouted. I said, no, lifeboats first. So I dashed over to this lifeboat and tore off the tarpaulin sheet. And would you believe it? There! In the boat was a family of stowaways. I was aghast. Aghast. I was two ghasts. I said, are you stowaways? You're not, are you? I said, I should report you to the captain, only I can't. He's gone home. No, they said, we're not stowaways. We're just travelling third class. It was that bad, yes. These poor people, these stowaways, were going to England to seek fame and fortune, and they had nowhere to stay when they got there. Ah. Everybody, ah. Come on, out with your ahs. And of course, Of course, what did I do? St. Francis, I said. They could come and stay for a couple of months. I gave them an address. Of course, it wasn't mine. Seeing all that lot, I should say so. No, I gave this address. What's that address? What's the man who runs it here, the announcer? You know, Len Jackson. I gave them his address. Yeah, well, they say charity begins at home. But mine ends at the front door.
Hard.
Ah, Mr. Jackson.
Sorry I'm late, but I was delayed.
Really?
Yes, you won't believe this.
I wouldn't bet on that.
Pardon?
Nothing, carry on.
Well, I was coming to the studio when this crowd of strange people arrived on my doorstep.
Oh,
very odd.
Yes, they are. I mean, yes. Well, never mind. Look, you better go on with the announcing. Who's on first?
The lovely Lynn Paul.
Well, announcer, don't stand there dawdling.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the lovely Lynn Paul. That was the delectable Lynn Paul. I wouldn't mind her coming to stay at my house anytime. And now for one of our most talented young comedians. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Brian Carroll.
It's a long walk, that, isn't it? How do you like me up to now? It's nice to be here anyway, because, you know, us coming from north, we have to come a long way, don't we? I were in that pub round corner just now, stood having a drink, and I was stood at the bar, and I looked across the bar, and I thought, I'm sure I know that lad. I'm sure I went to school with him. It's Top White. I turned to the barman and I said, excuse me, is that Top White over there? Oh, it had no love, it all a 10-minute fat. My Mind you, we don't get things happening up our way like you do down here. It's not the same up our way, you know. We come from the backwaters. About the most exciting thing we get is crossroads. We don't get things like, you know, you'll get all the headlines, don't you, down here? Like that Norman the Mormon and his girlfriend. Little liar, her, ain't you? Mind you, I can't understand him either, lads. I think he's a bit of a tea cake, ain't he? Fancy taking a girl to court because she kidnapped you. And chain you to a bed. Could have tied me down with cotton, I wouldn't have got away. Actually, I've come on my own tonight. She doesn't know I'm down here, the wife. She's at home with Jaws. Don't laugh, you want to see my mother-in-law. She were a model during war for shrapnel. I don't get on with her. I were coming out today, I thought I'll throw a shovel of coal on fire. I didn't know cat were on shovel. She's not much better. Wife. Can't cook, missus. Have you ever had rhubarb pie 2 inch wide and 3 foot long? She went to butcher's last week, asked him for a humpback rabbit, so it had all pie crust up. I took my friend home for his dinner last week, and just walking in the house, he said, "By the way, Brian, what's for dinner?" I said, "Can you smell anything burning?" He said, "No." I said, "It's salad." Don't clap, she'll not like it when she hears this. I've always had the same problem with her. Come home other day, she was sat reading a book, crying. I said, "Is that a sad book, love?" She said, "I'll say it's the rent book." I've always had problems like that, me. I used to be a barrow boy in Sheffield. I'd got a good thing going one day. I was selling strawberries. Oh, I got a right crowd round. And one of them policemen come. Take me name. He said, "What's your name?" I said, "Brian Q. Carroll." He said, "What's the Q for?" I said, "It was for strawberries before you come." But actually, I love daft... Do you like daft gags? I love daft gags, me. This one's daft. In fact, it's that daft, I did it in a mental home the other night and they all went mad. John Wayne, you know John, commanding Fort Apache, and all of a sudden, Sitting Bull and all his Indians descended upon the fort, and they're riding round, firing their arrows. There's men going down right, left and centre. And after 2 days, there's only 15 men left. And all of a sudden, the Indians disappeared. And out of the hills rode one brave on his own with a white flag, up to the gates and stopped. And he said, "Sitting Bull, wish to talk with Chief of White Eyes." And he looked over the fort and he said, "You're on." And 10 minutes later, Sitting Bull descended from the hills. A broken lance on one side, cochise on the other, and he rode up to the gates of the fort and stopped. And the gates open, and out rode John Wayne. Gabier's on one side. Clint McCullough, aren't they? And he stopped and he said, "You wanna talk, said M. Bull? Well, talk." And Sitting Bull said, "Can we have our orders back, please?" Hang on,
thank you, Brian Carroll. And now the moment has come for
I
me
ask,
to...
Excuse me interrupting. How are you getting on with that homeless family?
They've moved in. And they're eating me out of house and home.
Oh, shame.
I can't work it out. They no. said that they were given my address by someone on the ferry.
What a shocking thing to do.
Yes. Whoever it was sounds highly undesirable. They said he was a shabby old drunk.
How dare... I mean, how... What's on next?
The Max Harris Orchestra.
Oh, call me when the din subsides.
Ladies and gentlemen, Max Harris and his orchestra.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the Max Harris Orchestra with Max on the piano, Lenny on the double bass, and the rest on double whiskies. Couldn't you tell?
And now,
ladies and gentlemen, you all know Marjorie Proops, but there's no law against it. So who are we to pass judgment? Now, we all have our little foibles. Of course, some have bigger foibles than others, but this is the time to bring them out and examine them. Wait a minute. Now, it's time for Be Frank, the agony column of the air, where I try to answer listeners' personal problems. Now, before the show, we ask certain members of our studio audience to write down their questions. Here they are. Can we have the first question, please?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Joy from Hull.
Joy from Hull.
Joy from Hull.
Right.
Now, my little boy is just taking an interest in reading.
Reading?
What do you think I should give him?
How about books? Oh, I must tell you, Joy from Hull, when I was a little boy, I was a very fast reader, me, you know. very fast. One of my favourites was Jules Verne's Around the World in 3 Hours. Mind you, my parents never encouraged me to read, Joy, so I had to read under the bedclothes, late at night, with a torch. It's a long title, but it's a very good book. Now, but seriously, Joy from Hull, remember, reading maketh man. And if your little boy reads as much as I did, then he'll be able to speak as proper as what I do, if not gooder. Next. Who's next? Yes.
Hello. Yes. Mandy from Chichester.
Chichester. Mandy?
Mandy.
Yes. Mandy, OK.
My best friend has started going out with boys.
Yes.
And I find I have to spend a lot of time on my own. Have you any suggestions?
Yes. What are you doing after the show? Yes. I like your boots. A bit kinky, aren't they? Now, you say your best friend is going out with boys. Well, that's all right, as long as she's a girl. Is she a girl?
Yes.
Yes, that's the main thing. No! I had a friend once. Well, as a matter of fact, I shouldn't boast. As a matter of fact, I had two. Then I started working for the BBC. Ah, happy days. Remember the old song? Neither do I. It makes no difference. We have something in common. See you later with your boots. I trust I've been of some assistance. Next, please. Sir.
Hello, I'm Steve from Batley.
Never mind. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Steve with the big moustache. Yes, Steve.
I'm contemplating taking up a musical instrument. Which do you recommend?
You must be careful, Steve, which instrument you choose, because one of my neighbours came running in the other day and said, and he was a man, actually, he said, "Oh, Francis, I've just been playing the harmonica and I've swallowed it. What should I do?" So I said, "Just thank God you weren't playing the piano. Next, please."
Hello, yes. I'm Jackie from Blackheath.
Like South London, yes.
I'm thinking of getting engaged to my boyfriend who's Italian. But my parents don't think I should get involved with a continental. What do you think?
Well, you must go with your heart, my dear. You see, it's a very wonderful opportunity to broaden your horizons, and you'll definitely broaden something else with all that pasta. But Italy, I love it. I love it. What a cultural heritage. The 14th century Italian school, magnifico. It should never have gone comprehensive. They say, madam, they do say Italian men are hot-blooded. They go around pinching ladies' bottoms. I don't know why they're not satisfied with the one they've got. It puzzles me. Like all countries, here it comes now. Here it comes, the old one. Italy has its drawbacks. I was in Venice last year. See? And it wasn't safe to walk the streets. There we are. Welcome, return of old favourite. Next, please. Sir.
Hello, Graham from Welwyn Garden City.
Graham, yeah.
I want to be a punk rocker, but my mother thinks it's silly. How can I convince her I'm serious?
Is your mother here tonight?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I can see her. She's the one in the bin liner with a safety pin through her nose. What do you want to be a punk rocker for? Why don't you be a teeny bopper like me? I mean, shut your face, you. I'm always down the disco doing the pogo. I do. Nothing I like better than a good pogo. No, son. You take up something more genteel, like join the commandos or something like that. Anyway, thank you very much for your question, and that's all from Be Frank this week. Thank you so much.
And now let's welcome back Lynn Paul.
A day will come and we'll have everything. We'll share the joy falling in love can bring. No one can tell me that I'm too young to know. find you love me. Oh, a day will come if we just wait a while. No tears for us. Think love and wear a smile. Our dreams have magic because we'll always stay in love this way all day. If we just wait a while, no tears for us. Think love and wear a smile. Our dreams have magic because we'll always stay in love this way.
That, of course, was Lynn Paul, no relation to Saint. And now, who cometh here? Ah, here he is again, would you believe?
Howard.
What?
I thought I'd let you know I found out a little more about that shabby old drunk who gave those strange people my address.
Oh, have you? Did they say he was witty and handsome?
No.
Oh?
They said he borrowed £10 off them and didn't pay it back.
Lying devils, with only five.
What?
Nothing. Look, Mr. Jackson, if your job is announcing an announce, would you please go?
I wonder what's got into him. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome one of Liverpool's funniest sons, a very fast-talking gag man, Mike Burton.
Thank you, Band. We've got a jukebox for a fiver. Now then, Rochdale County Council are pulling down Cyril Smith and putting up a block of flats. And the government have solved the unemployment problem. They're raising the school leaving age to 47. You know, the fellow woke up one morning and found his house full of aeroplanes. He'd left the landing light on. A girl says to her mother, "Mother, my boyfriend's an atheist. He doesn't believe in hell." She said, "Marry him, we'll prove him wrong." There's a policeman went home one night and found his wife in bed with three fellas. He said, "Hello, hello, hello." He said, "Aren't you talking to me then?" The fellow at the fishmongers, he said, "Can I have a pair of kippers for the wife?" He said, "We haven't got a pair." He said, "Give her two odd ones. She won't know the difference." Oh, the Scots couple reading the catalogue. And she said, "Angus, isn't that a lovely dress? Isn't that a lovely dress?" He said, "It is that, Mary. Would you like that?" She said, "A word." So he cut it out and he gave it her. As a woman says to her little son, "Nip down the road and get a box of cockroach powder and don't tell him what it's for." She said, "Never mind, I'll go. Watch the fire doesn't go out." She said, "Okay, ma'am, I'll lock the door."
Oh,
He's a drunk stopped me tonight. He said, excuse me, where's the other side of the road? I said, it's over there. He said, some bloody fool sent me over here. There are two Irish fellas at a bus stop. And this one-man bus came along. He said, yeah, mate, get on that. I'll get the next one. Have you ever been on one of them? You've been on a one-man bus. I got on one. I said, a five, please. He's in the box. I said, a five, please. Oh, dear me. This fella come home from night work. His wife said, I had a burglar. He said, did you get anything? She said, yes, I thought it was you. The fellow said, can you have some more sleeping tablets for the wife? He said, why? She said, she woke up. He said, you know them tablets you gave me to give me strength? He said, yeah. He said, I can't get the lid off. He said, and my feet are killing me. He said, you got your boots on the wrong feet. He said, I've got no other feet to put them on. So while I'm here, can you give me something for my granddad's liver? He said, yeah, that's a pound of onions. You get worse, you know. What do you mean they call? He went to Social Security, you know, for a few bob, and the fellow said, how much have you got in the bank? He said, £25,000. He said, you're joking, aren't you? He said, you started it. He went to a farm. He said, any odd jobs? He said, go and milk the bull. That's an odd job. He said, I've got a job as a handyman. The fellow said, can you dig a hole? He said, no. He said, can you mend a fuse? He said, no. He said, what makes you think you're handy? He said, oh, you live around the corner. So they give him a job on a building site, you see, and he built this wall. It was all horrible and hanging. It was terrible, you see. And the boss said, who built that? He said, I did. He said, you sacked. He said, before you lose your temper, he said, I can show you something worse than that. He said, if you can show me something worse than that, you got your job back. He said, come on. And he went around the corner, and there was this other wall worse than that one. He said, my God, he said, you've got your job back. Who built it? He said, me. A week later, he went back, 11 o'clock in the morning, and the boss said, you should have been here at 8 o'clock. He said, why? What happened? He said, where have you been till now? He said, I've been having my hair cut. He said, on the firm's time. He said, it grows on the firm's time. He said, it doesn't all grow on the firm's time. He said, I haven't had it all off. So they sacked him, you see, and he was standing in this pub with his mate and looking at this fellow's shoes. He said, look at them, look at them lovely shoes. He said, where'd you get them shoes? He said, the crocodile shoes. He said, real crocodile shoes? He said, yeah. He said, where'd you get them from? He said, Africa. So him and his mate caught the next bus to Africa. And there they are on this riverbank, and his mate pulls this crocodile in and throws it back again. He said, what'd you do that for? He said, it didn't have any on. Do you know the two monkeys in Africa? They found a sliced loaf. He said, let's have some toast. He said, how are we going to make toast? He said, stick it on the griller. They said, while we're here, we'll go lion hunting, because lion skins fetch £100 each here. He said, OK. So they hire this hut in the middle of the jungle, you see. He said, give us the gun, I'll go get the first one. And out he went, and there it was in his path, a great big golden lion. You see, he said, lion, this is your life. And the gun didn't go off. So he dropped it and ran like hell for the hut. And he got in the hut, got behind the door, the lion rushed in. He said, yeah, I'll skin that, I'll go and get another. Now, Lions are funny things, you see. This lion was walking through the jungle one day, and he came across a mahunky, you see. And he said, "Mahunky, who's the king of the jungle?" And the mahunky said, "You heart lion." And he knocked L out the mahunky and said, "Don't you forget a heater." And he went a bit further along, and he came to a zebra-rebra-rebra-rebra, you see. He said, "Zebra-rebra-rebra-rebra-rebra, who's the king of the jungle?" And the zebra-rebra-rebra-rebra-rebra said, "You heart lie, huh?" And he tore the jammers off it. He said, "There's no zebra crossing me." And he went a bit further along, and he came to a heliphant. He said, "Heliphant, who's the king of the jungle?" And the heliphant picked him up, wrapped him round half a dozen trees, and threw him right in the middle of the river. And the lion, staggered up the river, went up to the heliphant and said, "There's no need to lose your temper if you don't know the answer."
Well, that was the very funny Mike Burton, and I'll never forgive him. Now...
Oh, Howard.
Oh, him again. Look, don't bother me now.
It's about those people in my house.
Look, I don't want to know about them. Go away.
No, it's just that they're really a great bunch of people.
Well, your problem's a great bunch?
Yes, they're very talented.
Are they?
They sing like angels.
Do they?
Yes, so I hope you don't mind, but I've asked them to come along here and sing a few songs for us.
Have you? Well, I'm sorry, but
no,
I...
No, but I've got the Dooleys.
Well, you look as though you might have. But you can take something for it, can't you? I'm off before there's trouble.
Very strange. Well, ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm hand to the singing brothers and sisters, the Dooleys.
Bow its head when it knows our love is what he throws about its head when it knows our love is dead, and it's never gonna bloom again for you. Never gonna bloom again for you.
Much indeed, ladies and gentlemen. That's our current hit single there, A Rose Has to Die. Right now, we'd like to feature our young sister, Kathy, with a song from our brand new LP, a number entitled, Don't Let Me Be the Last to Know.
I've given you the best years of my life. It's true. If I failed you, then God, how I tried. But I've been hearing stories all over town, how you've been cheating me and putting me down. Oh, after all this time, can I believe?
Those of course was the Dooleys. Brethren, I stand before you tonight with a message. A message to all you young, innocent men out there. Perhaps I should say, all you other young, innocent men out there. And you can shut your face for a start. Verily, BBC has told me I'm a harbinger of bad tidings. I've come to harbage in public. Are you looking forward to it? I say unto you one thing. One thing I say, filth. Yes. Pure filth. These magazines, have you seen them? It's disgraceful. These magazines, I don't know how they get away with it, charging 85p for this. I wouldn't mind, but some of the pictures, I mean, they aren't fit to look at, especially this on page 38. Oh, they aren't fit to look. I mean, she's got most of her clothes on. I mean, that's cheating. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't normally buy this kind of stuff, but they'd sold out of Reader's Digest. Now, to be perfectly honest, someone told me to buy this for the personal adverts. You know the adverts, the advertisements at the back. And they are strange, some of them. Look at this one here. Wanted. Woman. Must be... These solo titters are very disconcerted. Altogether not at all. Get your titters out. Now. Titters, dear. Now, wanted. Listen to this. Woman. Must be male. For fun soirees with goldfish bowl and crocodile. No cranks, please. Now, what about this one? What about this one? Sophisticated, refined divorcee, mid-40s, with keen interest in poetry reading and Islamic pottery, seeks big navvy for dirty weekends. Most odd. But there was one I was told to look for. Told. Now, here we are. Are you exciting, handsome, and vibrant? What do you think? What do you think? Well, don't take a vote on it. What is this, a party conference? No, no. It says, why don't you be a male escort with a bundle of fun agency? Escort. Escort. I'm sweating like a pig. You know this. Escort. Now, I first got the idea to be a male escort from this woman I was talking to the other night. She said, Francis, I don't know how someone as good-looking as you please yourselves can keep it all to yourself. Think of all the lovely women who would love to be escorted by someone as suave, debonair. I waited for her to go on, but she fell off the bar stool. So.
Is she right, I thought? Suave and debonair. Suave and a bit. Is she right? So I looked up both words in the dictionary, and she was right. As God is my witness. So I decided to go along to be a bundle of fun escort. Now, I thought, I better do myself up. Get the trendy gear. So I put on my snakeskin bomber jacket. And my super tight satin trousers. God, oh, was they were tight. I had to use a shoe on. God! Every step was a purgatory. Oh, dear. I thought one sneeze, it'll be the great escape all over again.
Anyway, that's the tired. I presented myself at the escort agency. And this yobbo.
You're kidding? Yobbo? Uncouth. Uncouth. He was not a jottle or tittle of gooth. Goothless. Forsooth, in truth, the youth had no gooth. Right, altogether, you try saying it then. Forsooth, in truth.
Exactly, you're dribbling, I thought so. And the question this man asked this Yobbo, he said, name? Francis Howard. Profession? Actor. Experience? Various. Height? Only when I'm standing up. Age? Pass. So I said, look, Magnus Magnusson, I've come here to be a bundle of fun escort, not the bionic man. He said, we don't have much call for father figures. So I... Me? Me a father figure? Babyface Howard? I said, surely, surely you have something on your books that would suit me. He said, well, I've got a nasty squash fly here. I thought, hello, another comic. Well, I wasn't going to be fobbed off. I wasn't going to be fobbed off, and I told him. I told him I'd been informed that I'm very attractive to the opposite sex. He said, oh, fob off. I remained unfobbed. I wouldn't go. And finally agreed to ring me if anything turned up. So I let go of his throat, and I went home. I went home to wait. Oh, poor Francis was kept in suspense. Oh, God! Night and day, the telephone. It never rang. Sitting there waiting for the telephone. Hey. Oh, I don't ring.
It was a woman here crying her eyes out.
I'm only acting, dear. I know I'm convincing. Now, just when I was on the brink of despair, it happened. I had a tinkle. And trust the phone to ring at the same time. Anyway, it was the bundle of fun Yobbo himself. With my first client, he said, she doesn't want to be recognised. I said, that's no problem. I'll keep my eyes shut. Now, I said, stay thy mirth. And I said, I want you to wear a white suit, green shoes, a pink top hat, an Arsenal scarf, and a fishing rod. Stay thy mirth. I said, now, how will she recognise me?
Stay, Christ, stay.
He said, easy, he said. She'll recognise you because you'll be wearing a red carnation. And she'll be wearing a white carnation. And then he gave me this password thing, this password, so I could make contact with this client. So I went along to the rendezvous. It was called the Ristorante Papaccioro Luciano. Yes, it was a Chinese place. I went filled in with trepidation and gin to seek out my beautiful stranger with a white carnation. And would you believe it, just my luck? There was a wedding reception going on. Yes! There must have been... Oh, more than that. Oh! 50 women, all wearing white carnations. It was like the Chelsea Flower Show. I didn't know where to start. And then I remembered the password. So I picked out the first woman on the table, and I swerved up to her, all debonair.
Debonair in the air.
And... It makes a change, doesn't it? As I whispered to this woman in her ear, I see the lupins are out. That was the password. She said, will the dockers come out in sympathy? That's all I needed, a woman with a sense of humour. I wish there was a few more like her ears or not, I tell you that. 2 hours later, I still hadn't found her. I couldn't find her. I was at the end of my tether, at the very end. An inch more, and I'd have fallen off. I got up on this table. I did, and I shouted out, ladies and gentlemen, please! Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to interrupt this society knees up, but I'm looking for an unattached woman. Are there any loose women here? I want to know which lady here is expecting a bundle of fun. Well, how was I to know the bride was 3 months pregnant? I certainly shouldn't have said that I was the man she was looking for. Oh, God. Well, you can imagine. The bridegroom turned puce. The bride turned red. And I turned left. And ran. Try and keep with me, if you will. Because he's a high drama now. I turned left and ran out through the door. Picture the scene, if you will. Me charging down the Euston Road, pursued by 200 men in topped hats and tails. It was like last orders at the Ascot beer tent. I was lucky to get away with my carnation intact. But I'll tell you this, I'm not having any more to do with agencies. I've decided to go it alone and put my own ad, my own advertisement in the magazine. Now, where is it? Yes, here we are. Here we are. Ah, young man, attractive. I'm going to take a second opinion, you. Young man, attractive, athletic, seeks good home, fully house trained, recently doctored, and vaccinated against rabies. What the hell is this? House trained doctors? That's odd. I mean, I'm not house trained. I mean, I'm all doctored for that matter. They've got me mixed up with the pets column. Wait till I get my hands on that little yobbo. But I can't hang around here. I'll have to get it changed. I must get it changed. I don't want to spend the rest of my life in a kennel. So good night. Good night.
Good night, pretty maiden.
What do you expect then? John Travolta.
Good night.
That was the Frankie Howard Variety Show with Frankie's special guests Lynn Paul, Brian Carroll, the Dooleys, Mike Burton and me, Len Jackson. The music was by Max Harrison, his orchestra, and the script was written by Rory McGrath, Jimmy Mulville, Lawrence Marks and Morris Grand. The programme was produced by Richard Wilcox.
Brilliant. Next week, we have two for the price of one with Julie Andrews and Hattie Jakes in an episode of Educating Archie and Jimmy Edwards and June Whitfield in Wacko. That's next Sunday's Classic Comedy Hour from 8 in the morning and again from 12 midday. Now, this month marks the 60th anniversary of the first broadcast of Test Match Special on BBC Radio. Here on 4 Extra, we're celebrating with a selection of cricketing programmes. You can hear the 3-hour special, An Innings with Jonners, and an archive on 4 Test Match Special, Ball by Ball, hosted by Rory Bremner, looking back at the first 50 years of TMS.
Broadcaster Darcus Howe was a schoolboy in Trinidad at that time, and already a cricket fanatic.
When I started to listen to cricket broadcasting, the BBC was it, and the cricket broadcasting glittered with metaphor and simile. It was equal to good literature. You widened your vocabulary listening to it as well, because I knew the game, and then you'd hear this intonation, three ships, gully, point, cover, extra cover, and a very long off, and the mid-wicket so deep that you may drown, and stuff like that. And the pause would raise. And a lot of us boys at Queen's Royal College would go around repeating this stuff.
To mark the 60th anniversary of Test Match Special, Rory Bremner hosts Archive on 4, Ball by Ball, on Saturday morning at 8 and again in the afternoon at 3, here on 4 Extra.
Miranda Hart takes some time out for a tete-a-tete with BBC Radio 4 Extra.
She said, "You've got to say the words after me, I am famous." And I couldn't say, I would go, "I am..."
For a chat about her life and a gallop through memory lane.
I'm engaged! I'm engaged!
I'm not!
Miranda Hart, from Hampshire to Hollywood.
Oh, hello, you're Rich Curtis, nice to meet you. My name's Rand Hart. I want to be a comedian, you've got any advice?
Available now on the BBC Radio 4 Extra website.